Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we've been bringing these messages for 19 years now. And we thank the Lord for this radio station, for you, the listener, and for all the prayers and provision over the many years. And we praise God for this day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today, we're going to be continuing in our series on God and government. And so with the election coming up here in just a short time, just a few weeks, it's very important to understand God's role in government, God's role in politics, and does he put his hand on the scale in favor of one or the other? Just exactly what is God's role in the affairs of man regarding politics? So turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 8, and we'll start up here in just a minute. Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Before we get into the message today, just want to give a brief update on what's going on here in Kenya. Last couple of weeks, we've been doing lots of farm work. It's been raining a lot. Just about every other day, we're getting good rain. So we're in the fall rainy season. And we've planted beans, planted vegetables, lots of planting going on, lots of cultivating going on. And so this will be the order of the day for the next month or so. Lots of farming. We have about 3 acres that we're farming by hand. And so every day there's 5, 6, 7 guys out there farming. And so we try to raise as much food as we can. So the children will have good food. The people that work for us will have good food. And so that is the order of the day now here for the next month or so. We're praying about doing a crusade in Kenya here in November, December. So pray with us on that. There's a lot of preparation that needs to be done and a lot of provision regarding a crusade. It's not an easy task. So pray with us regarding that, and we'll move forward if the Lord says to go. Well, today we're going to be talking about God and government. This is part 3 in the messages that we started a while back. I want to start in Matthew 10 before we go to 1 Samuel 8. I want to start in Matthew 10 just as a preamble to the message today. This is Jesus speaking, Matthew 10, 34. He says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace upon the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And so the reason I bring up this passage of scripture here is because I want you to understand, beloved, when you start to see God's plan for the United States of America, or God's plan for any country for that matter, you're going to understand when you see it through the eyes of a born-again believer, when God gives you revelation as a born-again believer and you see God's plan for the United States of America, when you see God's plan for his policies, his politics come in alignment with man's politics, or vice versa, when man's politics come into alignment with God's politics, you're going to be divided from people who are very close to you. You may be even divided from your mother or your father. You may be divided from your spouse. You may be divided from your children. And that is all God's plan. So don't think it's unusual if you go to a family reunion or a family dinner and you can't talk about politics. They always say, don't talk about politics or religion. You know, there's some people that don't want to hear about Jesus Christ in your family. There's some people when you bring up religion and you bring up politics, they get very testy, they get very agitated. And so don't be shocked about all that, because Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace on the earth, but I came to bring a sword." Well, what does a sword do? It cuts. And the word of God is a sword. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder between the soul and the spirit, the bones and the marrow, and even to discern between the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so the word of God cuts. It cuts between mother and father. It cuts between father and father-in-law and mother-in-law. And so don't be shocked when politics becomes a very divisive issue in your family. Don't be shocked if it becomes a divisive issue between you and your children. And so now you can see in the USA how divisive it has become. We're about 6 weeks out from the election on November 5th, and we've already had two assassination attempts on President Trump, and we have 6 weeks yet to go. Can the Secret Service, can the government of the United States keep this man safe? Can they protect him? And a bigger question would be, do they even want to protect him? Which becomes a very troubling question in the whole scenario of politics in the USA. Do they even want to protect him? And so at some point, negligence or incompetence becomes intentionality. And so you have to think about that. When does negligence and incompetence become intentionality? And so we have ways to go to the election, and that the fact that we've had two assassination attempts on this man just shows how divisive and contentious the politics of the United States of America have become. And it's a frightening thing that some people think this man is such a threat to democracy, and that he is such a threat that they have to take him out. Some of the rhetoric around him and pointed towards him has been so divisive and so contentious that the rhetoric is fueling people who are crazy, people who, well, maybe they are not crazy. Maybe they're just being paid off. And so they're just trying to make some money, and it may align with their own political values. We don't know, because there's an agency in charge of protecting him, the Secret Service, which has not really been forthcoming with the information. They've not been forthcoming with their investigation. And so we don't know really all the answers to this. We just know that politics in the U.S. has become very, very divisive. Well, the anointing of King Saul, we're going to look at that in 1 Samuel chapter 8, which is an Old Testament story, but it aligns with a scripture that we talked about last week, that the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord, and like a river of water, like rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. And so we think about the politics of the United States. We think about the politics of Kenya. We have a song that we sing here in Kenya. The children love to sing it. And the song goes like this. Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. Well, Jehovah has the final say, beloved. We serve a sovereign God. We serve a sovereign God. He's sovereign in every aspect of our life. He's sovereign over your salvation. He's sovereign over your deliverance. He's sovereign over your sanctification. He's sovereign over every part of your life. And so he is sovereign in the politics of the country you live in. It doesn't matter if it's USA, it doesn't matter if it's Kenya or Uganda or Tanzania or whatever country. Jehovah God is a sovereign God, and he has the final vote in the USA. Understand that, if you would. He has the final vote. He has the final say, and he turns the heart of the kings in a way just like he turns the rivers that are here on the face of the earth. And so God is in charge of politics. When a country's people, when the people of a land desire the Lord God to be involved in their politics, then he is going to be involved. And that tells us the difference between the USA and North Korea or communist China, North Korea and Communist China, the people have to worship God underground because the government does not really support or encourage or make a way for the people to openly, without restriction, serve Almighty God. And so there's underground churches, there's underground pastors, there's underground movements of God in these countries, but it's not that way in the United States of America. In the United States of America, the people that founded that country, the men and women of God that founded that country, came to the United States of America. They came for the purpose of religious freedom. They came for the purpose that they could serve God, that they could worship openly and without restriction. And so the government, it is encoded in the Constitution of the United States that the government shall not establish a state religion, and it shall not prevent the worship and the practice of religion in any way. And so that is part of the Constitution of the United States. That is the reason that government was formed in the United States of America. That's the reason why the United States of America has been exalted by God to the greatest nation on the earth. It is a beacon of light to the nations all over the earth. It is the greatest missionary sending nation of all the nations on the earth. And all this came about because these men had that in their vision when they established the Constitution of the United States. They had that in their vision when they added the Bill of Rights and they encoded in the United States Constitution the right for freedom of assembly, the right for free speech, the right for freedom of the press, the right to carry arms, the right to gather together in religious bodies or churches. And so this was all established because of the vision of the men and women who wrote the Constitution and established the country of the United States of America. Well, in the Old Testament days, the people were crying out for a king. If you read the book of 1 Samuel, it follows the book of Judges. And of course, the book of Judges, if you don't know, read it sometime. There's some great passages in the book of Judges. And in the book of Judges, it tells us that the people did what was right in their own mind. Everybody just did what was right in their own mind. They had no king. They were very rebellious. The enemies of the people of Israel were coming against them, the Midianites, the Philistines, other surrounding people. They were coming against them, stealing all their produce, causing all kinds of havoc, causing misery and torment. And it says that the people had no vision for themselves. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And so there's great division in the nation of Israel among the 12 tribes. Great division led to a lot of chaos and a lot of mystery. And so the people started to cry out in 1 Samuel. They started to cry out for a king over themselves. They said, "We want to be like the other people around us." All the other tribes had kings over them. All the other tribes had kings and the anointing of kings and great ceremony and all of that over kings. Well, we see that to some extent even today in Great Britain, and some nations of the earth have kings and queens and monarchies and this great amount of pomp and circumstance over families of kings and queens. And so we see that today to some extent. But in the United States of America, we have the right to vote. We don't have kings and queens. But in the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Samuel 8, the people had been crying out, and the Lord said, "Well, if you want a king, I will give you a king, but he's going to take your sons and daughters into his army. He's going to tax you. He's going to take your land. He's going to take your produce. He's going to take your livestock. And you will be sorry if you get a king because he's going to be a burden on you. You may think he's going to be a blessing in your life, but he's going to be a burden upon you." But the people kept crying out, "No, we want a king. We want to be like the other tribes around us. We want to be like the other nations around us. Give us a king." And so the Lord talked to Samuel, and the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said to the children of Israel, every man to his city. And Samuel was a prophet. He had been anointed by God as a prophet. And so in 1 Samuel 9:16, Samuel says, tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander. This is the Lord speaking to Samuel. You shall anoint him commander or ruler or king over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry has come to me. And he's speaking about the cry of the people to have them appointed a king or anointed a king. And so the Lord had his man in place. He had Samuel the prophet in place to anoint a king. And the man was going to be shown to Samuel so that Samuel could anoint him as a king. So when Samuel saw Saul, verse 17, 1 Samuel 9, when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, there he is, the man I spoke to you. This one shall reign or be the ruler or the commander over my people. Then in 1 Samuel 10:1, here is the anointing of Saul. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance or over his people Israel? And then in 10:6, Samuel said to Saul, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. Well, Saul was a man from the tribe of Benjamin, and he was head and shoulders taller than anybody else. The Bible tells us that he had a striking physical appearance, and he was head and shoulders taller than the other people of his tribe. And so when Samuel came to Saul and anointed him, I'm sure Saul was just as shocked as anybody else. Saul had no idea that the Lord was pinpointing him or that the Lord was watching him. And so Samuel anointed Saul, and he said, go in the power of the Lord. Go in the anointing of the Lord. And so in verse 9, and so it was, when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, that God gave him another heart, and all these signs came to pass that day. Well, Samuel had told Saul that he was going to turn, that God was going to turn him into another man, and God was going to give him an anointing. And then it tells us in verse 9 that it happened. God gave him another heart, and all these signs came to pass that day. And 1 Samuel 10:24, and Samuel said to all the people, do you see him whom the Lord has chosen, that there is no one like him among all the people? So all the people shouted and said, long live the king. Well, that's an amazing story. And if you go on to read in 1 Samuel, the rest of the book, you'll find out that Saul had some victories, that he did operate as a prophetic Saul and as the king, the anointed king, and he did operate in obedience to the Lord for a while, but shortly into his reign as king, he became disobedient, and the Lord pulled the anointing away from Saul, and he put it on a shepherd boy out in the pasture with the sheep. And that shepherd boy was none other than King David, a man who was after God's heart. And King David then became king. It took years before David was actually in the office of king, before he stepped into the office of king, because Saul would not let go of the reins of the office of king. Saul actually tried to kill David. Saul pursued David for many years, threw the javelin at him, tried to kill him, went into battle against him. All this went on for years. while David was on the run, Saul was pretending to be the king. And while David was on the run, Saul was pursuing him. Saul was acting like the king. The people thought they had a king, but in essence, they had no king because David, the real king, the actual anointed king, was being pursued by Saul, and he was not able to take his place in the office of the king. Well, to some extent, that's what we have going on today. We have people that think they're the king, and we have people that have been in the office, but the anointing has been taken away from them. And the real king, I believe, is on the run. The real king is being pursued, even to the point of death, even to the point where he is attempted to be assassinated now twice. And so I believe there's a corollary, there's a parallel here in what is happening in the United States of America and the story that we just read. Well, only God knows for sure, but I can tell you there has been a lot of prophetic words spoken about this man who God is raising up to take his place in the office of President of the United States of America, prophetic words about how God is going to blow the trumpet over America. And so God has blown the trumpet, and this man has been anointed and appointed to be king over the United States of America. Well, at any rate, no matter what you think about prophetic declarations, prophetic vision, at any rate, it is your obligation and your responsibility as a citizen of the United States of America. It is your responsibility to go to the poll and vote. We have this privilege that has been declared for us by people who have sacrificially given of themselves in war to protect the freedoms that we have here in the United States of America. It was declared in the Constitution. It was declared in the Bill of Rights. And men and women of America, God-fearing men and women of America, have laid down their life over 250 years to see to it that we can still go to the polls, to see to it that we can still elect the people that we have a desire in our heart to elect. And so it's in the best interest, and also it behooves us to go to the polls and vote, to take responsibility to vote, to take the privilege into our own hands and go to that voting booth and cast your vote. Don't just say, well, it doesn't matter. Yes, it matters. It don't just say, well, if God's in control, just let him do it. No, God is in control. He is a sovereign God. He has the final say, but it's still our responsibility and our privilege to go to the poll, cast your vote, let your vote be known. And so that is the responsibility and the privilege we have of living here in the United States of America. And so God has ordained human government. We found that out in Romans chapter 13, verse 1. God has ordained human government, and the divine right of government is to protect citizens, to oppose crime, defend the people from outside enemies, defend the people from crime and criminals from within, and to provide for the peace and safety and the opportunity, the environment for people to do well in their life, to get ahead in their life, to educate themselves, and to go to church if they desire to go to church, to speak over the radio if they desire to speak over the radio. All of these things are hanging in the balance. All of these privileges, these freedoms we have, are hanging in the balance. And so it is our responsibility and our privilege to go to the voting booth and vote each and every time an election comes up in the United States of America. The sword of the government, that is the right of the government to bring peace and to maintain peace, the sword of the government is an arm of the Lord God Almighty. God ordains government to keep peace. God ordains government to provide for the safety and the security of the people in a nation. And so this sword of the government, the police, the highway patrol, the National Guard, the Army, the judges, all the magistrates, the courts, all of that is set in place so that the people can live in a safe and peaceful environment. They can have security, and there's not just chaos and anarchy, and people are in fear of their life. People are in fear of murder and rape and mayhem and all this chaos that's going on in America. God's plan is that there be peace, there be shalom, there be men and women living in their homes, living in their families, living in their cities, their communities, their villages, and they have peace and security, and they have opportunity for the American dream, you could call it, but it's an opportunity for God's dream, and that is God's plan. Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous reign, or when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked reign, the people groan. Proverbs 29, 4, the king establishes the land by justice, but he who receives bribes overflows the justice, or throws justice overboard. And so Proverbs 29, 8, scoffers set a city aflame, but wise men turn away wrath. Well, you think about the cities of America where chaos and disorder and breakdown of law and order have happened in the last few years. You think about Minneapolis, you think about Seattle, you think about Portland. Scoffers set the city ablaze, but the righteous people turn away wrath. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We'll take up one more session of this next week and pray about the election coming up. Pray for safe elections. Pray for safety of the candidates. And God has the final say. Pray about that your vote will be in alignment with what God says over the election coming up in the USA. Thank you again for listening. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you partner with us, support this ministry, not only for the radio broadcast, for all the projects we have going in Africa. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.